The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Before I begin the main topic of this message today, I want to remind you guys that we are also on YouTube and on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. So make sure to subscribe to the prophetic voice of our time on YouTube, where we're going to be uploading many short clips of the things that the Lord is giving us to share with you and many people around the world. So make sure to find the prophetic voice of our time on YouTube and subscribe there as well. Now, to start today's message, I'm actually going to be reading a series of instructions that the Lord has given us at Freedom Fellowship Church in recent days. And something that we've been talking about here at on the prophetic voice of our time is how it is God's intention that He wants to put Spirit-filled, God-fearing believers in positions of influence and affluence. So you think of an industry, for example, the media industry. 90% of all the media we consume, so you're talking television, music, news, movies, okay, streaming services, 90% of that media we pay for and consume and listen to is owned and produced by six companies. Just six of them. You know, I may not be 100% correct on this, but it's essentially GE, News Corp, Disney, Viacom, Time Warner, and CBS. Just six companies producing the vast majority of all the media we consume. Imagine the kind of influence just one of the CEOs of one of those companies has over that industry. And the issue is that for decades and decades, all of those influential positions, they are held by people that do not know God, do not fear God, and many of them even view themselves, right, as God, is that they are their own rulers, they're going to do whatever they want to do. So these are industries and nations ruled by godlessness. And what God wants to do is that He wants to put people who fear Him, who hear from Him, and who will obey Him in positions of influence. Think, for example, what God did with Abraham and the Israelites. The land of Canaan was ruled by wicked nations that served false idols, they did human sacrifices, they did all kinds of wicked things that were displeasing to the Lord. And those nations were displaced by the people of God. And this is something that God says to Abraham when He's making His covenant with Abraham. He says, I'm going to take you out of where you are to a land that I will show you, and I'm going to give it to you as an inheritance. In Genesis chapter 15, He talks about how His descendants, they're going to be left out of Canaan, they're going to leave Canaan, but in the fourth generation, God says, your descendants will come back here to the land of Canaan. For the sin of the Amorites had not yet reached its full measure, right? So the implication here was, look, I'm going to use the Israelites. They're going to be used as a way to judge the Amorites, but I'm not going to judge the Amorites until their wickedness has reached its full. The implication here is that for the Amorites, they have been given opportunity and opportunity and opportunity to turn back to God. But after so many generations of rejecting the Lord says, I will now displace you, and instead the Israelites will now inhabit this land. And so, in many of the nations and industries in this day, God wants to position righteous people, right? And this isn't, you know, some get-rich-quick kind of scheme. This isn't, oh, you're gonna have so much money and you're gonna buy a jet and all this stuff. No, the reason why God wants to put godly men and women in positions of influence is so that we can turn the hearts of nations back to God. We can show people the way to Christ, right? And this is what happens. Saul sinned before the Lord, and God said, I will now bring up somebody who has a heart after me, somebody who is better than you, more righteous than you, and God picked David, okay? So this is all a precursor to talk about, so we've been talking about this. God wants to transfer influence from the wicked to the righteous so that the nations will come to know the Lord, and we will play a role in bringing the nations towards the Lord, right? It's not just about, I'm going to be rich, oh yeah, I'm going to be debt-free, and I'm going to buy a big mansion. It's not about that, okay? So when I'm reading these instructions to you, understand this context. God wants to raise up leaders to establish the kingdom of God. And for those of you that are called to this, right? And so this is why people are not just going to be called to preaching. Okay, preaching is not the ultimate. There are some people called to preach. There are some people called to teach. There are some of you that are called to the business arena, to the financial arenas, and the media sector. In fact, there may be even some of you that are called to politics, okay? We can say all this stuff, oh man, yeah, the politicians, they are so wicked, they're so greedy, they're so corrupt. Wouldn't it be better if there were God-fearing men and women in the political sector rather than leaving it to the world, right? So instead of speaking those negative things over the political arena, those people that can hear from God need to go into the political arena. Rather than just talking and complaining and saying all these bad things about it, stop complaining about the wickedness and start being the light. So for those of you that God is calling you to be a part of this transfer of influence and affluence, these are the instructions that God says that all of us, one, need to continue to ask for instructions from the Lord and do it. We cannot be just hearers of the word. We have to do it. Additionally, do not preach anything unless you are already walking it, whether it's from the pulpit or whether you're preaching across the table from somebody. Do not preach anything unless you are walking it. The transfer of influence and affluence, it is already here. It is already now. The resources are already here, but we have to be consistent in our obedience, in our submission to the Lord. And lastly, we are not going to share the revelation we've received until we have already walked it ourselves. So if the Lord gives you a new revelation, and sometimes when this new revelation comes, it's something that kind of shakes you and you realize, wow, I've been doing this wrong. I understood this wrong, okay? Before you can start preaching it, you need to start walking it, right? So if the revelation you receive requires you to make corrections, you make corrections and then you start preaching it. Because let's face it, we don't need any more preachers, whether they're on the pulpit or not on the pulpit. We don't need any more preachers that talk a big talk but don't actually walk it. There is no more room for hypocrites in this move that God is bringing about. Now, for those of us that are here in the United States of America, this is what the Lord says. He says, there will be curveballs thrown at us, but we should stay vigilant. We need to continue to pray for the United States of America and for the American people to be patient and to support the government initiatives that are happening right now. Do not listen to divisive people. We'll be thrown a curveball, but we're still going to hit a home run. For those of you that are listening from the Philippines, the leadership at Freedom Fellowship Church International needs to pray for the Philippines every day. It's either the nation of the Philippines will move forward in an accelerated manner, or it will be sent backwards again for decades. It's up to the body of Christ which of these happens. Instructions to all of the body of Christ is that we should not just believe the news, but we need to ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate what is really happening and how we should pray. This means that both the news that we don't like to hear and the news that we like to hear, we should not just take things at face value. And this should be true of anything. Anything we read, anything we hear, anything we see, we need to make sure to involve the Holy Spirit. And really, this is something that should distinguish us from those in the world. You think of somebody like Daniel, right? Daniel got his wisdom from God Almighty. Right? It says that God filled him with wisdom and understanding, so much so that when he was examined, he was found to be 10 times wiser than even the wisest men in Babylon. Okay? It wasn't just 10 times wiser than his other Israelite peers that were brought into captivity. No, in the entire nation, he was found to be 10 times wiser. That'd be like in this day. You imagine the smartest scientist, the smartest engineers and planners, financiers, okay? Whatever advisors you can imagine that came from the best schools with all kinds of credentials and PhDs, right? That you are found to be 10 times wiser and smarter than the smartest people in this nation. That is what God did with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it was not something that they did through their own ability. It's because God filled them with wisdom and understanding. So our wisdom has to come from God, okay? So those are the instructions that God gave us, okay? And we got to make sure to apply them, amen? And as God is sending us out, we have to remember the thing that distinguishes us from the world, that gives us the ultimate advantage, is we have the Holy Spirit. And God knows everything that's going to happen, right? I mean, you think of what happens in the financial markets. All these people, they scramble, they do all kinds of analysis to try and predict, oh, whether certain stocks are going to go up or whether certain industries are going to take off and all these things. And they make all these different bets based on educated decisions. The Holy Spirit knows what's going to happen, okay? The Holy Spirit knows if some industry is going to take off or not, right? Everyone's talking about AI and all this stuff. The Holy Spirit knows what's going to go on with AI, right? We don't need to be afraid of it. We don't need to do all this speculation. We just need to ask God, God, what do I do? What are you telling me to do in this situation? We need to be led by the Holy Spirit, okay? And to be led by the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is the one that's setting the pace and setting the course, right? So it's not this idea, well, I want to get involved in this AI thing. Oh, I want to get involved in this media thing, right? We're not picking the course for ourselves. I want to go over here. God, what do I do with here, with this? Because I want to go here and I want to be involved with this and it's going to be great, successful, and I'm going to be rich. No, we're not leading the Holy Spirit, because that's what a lot of Christians try to do, is many times we want to lead the Holy Spirit, but man, we'll pray, we'll be spiritual, we'll quote scriptures, you know what I'm saying? And then we'll pray, God, I made this plan and please bless it. And God, what do I do to make this plan successful? No, what has to happen is the plan comes from God, right? When Moses went into the holies of holies, when he went up on that mountain, God gave him a plan. This is how you're going to build the tabernacle. This is what the Ark of the Covenant is going to look like. These are the ceremonies you're supposed to do, right? Then Moses came down from the mountain and he directed the people. Look, this is what the Lord says we're supposed to build. This is how we're supposed to build it. God appointed Bezalel and Aholiab that you guys are going to be leading the craftsmen, and God filled you with abilities, right? God outlined what needed to be done, how it should be done, and who should execute it. Okay? And this is the model we have to follow in our own lives. When we go into our businesses, God tells us what we're building, what the business is, how we do it, how we market it, and who gets involved in it. All right? So we're not making the plan for ourselves. And a lot of things that get out of place in many of these faith movements is that when we talk about, oh, I live by faith, we think that I am going to impose my will and I'm going to invoke the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I will be successful in this endeavor. In the name of Jesus, a door is going to open here. But it is not our will. We cannot impose our will on God. God is the one who has to call you out and says, this is where I am taking you. Do you choose to take the leap of faith and follow me? Right? Think of somebody like Noah, okay? Noah had great faith, but Noah's not the one to choose to build the ark, right? He didn't choose that calling. In fact, to build the ark was a huge inconvenience for him, because the Bible shows us that he was somewhere over 500 years old, and then he entered the ark when he was 600 years old. So that means that at minimum, Noah was building this ark for decades, okay? Now, how many of you guys have ever taken on a renovation project where, okay, we're going to extend our kitchen, or we're going to do this or that? Man, there's so much money. There's so much time, right? Sometimes you think, oh, I'm going to build it myself. And then 6 months later, it's still not done. You know what I'm talking about? Well, Noah got a huge construction project that he never picked. So now all of Noah's extra money is going into getting resources for this ark. All of Noah's extra time is being dedicated to building this ark, right? And maybe his wife is thinking, man, we're spending so much time on this. When is the ark going to be done, Noah? And here he is going decade after decade after decade, being committed to the calling that God placed on his life, right? It was not a manner of, God, I want to do this. So in the name of Jesus, I will do it because there's power in Jesus's name. Yeah, there's power in Jesus's name. But faith is about following the leading of the Lord, even when you don't understand it. So when Moses decided, I will submit to your will, Lord, God, you told me to build this ark. If it takes a year, if it takes 10 years, if it takes 50 years, I am going to build it. And we don't know what kind of skills Noah had, right? I mean, Noah may not have even been a carpenter, and now he's got this big carpentry project. I mean, how many of you know that when you have to obey the Lord, sometimes you get pushed into situations you're not really comfortable in? You know what I'm saying? Where you have to, maybe Noah wasn't an expert carpenter, and now he's going to have to yield. Okay, well, I'm learning how to cut this wood for the first time. But his whole life got restructured around obeying the Lord. And this is what faith really looks like. It's not you picking and choosing what you want to happen and trying to put God in it. It is about God placed this calling on your life. And now, despite the circumstances, no matter how inconvenient it is, you are choosing to follow God. That's what Noah had to do. That's what Moses had to do. Most people don't realize this. Moses, he already had a life in Midian. He was married. He was settled in. And here God is saying, now you're going to go back to this place you ran away from, and you're going to rescue the Israelites. So it was inconvenient for Moses. Noah had to do it. Moses had to do it. Abraham had to do it. All the great heroes of faith in the Bible, they had to choose to restructure their life around the calling of God. Okay? And this is what it is like for us. So if God has called you to the business arena, your entire business, the way you think about the business, needs to be focused first and foremost from the vision that God has given you. Which means that if maybe you haven't gotten that vision yet, maybe, well, what does that even look like, Josh? I don't even know what I'm supposed to do to even get there. Well, if you don't have that vision yet, then that means you've got to go up into the holies of holies. You got to go up there in Mount Sinai and get in the presence of God and get the vision from God and all the schematics and all the instructions, and then you can go out and execute it, right? So if you don't even know what to do yet, then get on your knees and pray before the Lord and get the direction from him. And it's so cool that we have this model for how the Israelites oriented themselves concerning nation, concerning their national laws and judges and ceremonies. I mean, Moses, when he was in the presence of God, God gave him explicit instructions of how to structure the entire nation. And then he went before the people and he presented the instructions of the Lord. He said, these are the instructions and the commands of the Lord. Do you bind yourself to it? And the people had to bind themselves to the instructions of God. Our businesses should be modeled the same way, where we go into the presence of God, we hear instructions from the Lord, and now those instructions get codified into business practices and procedures and ways of doing things, hiring processes, to where now all the people that operate under this business or this nation or this structure have to bind themselves to this system that has been established and rooted according to the direction of the Lord, right? And this is a very different way of thinking about doing business. It's a very different way of thinking about even structuring our lives, because for too long, we in the church have been playing catch up. We've been on the defensive. Hollywood publishes some horrible, wicked, perverse video, and then suddenly all the church is up in a tizzy. Oh, can you believe they do this? Oh, we got to bind this. We bind these spirits of this, and we're going to speak out about this, and we got to make sure nobody watches this, right? We end up on the defensive so often, where the world does a thing and then we get up a tizzy over it and we react to it, but we never actually make any ground in doing that. And this is part of what I'm talking about when God says he wants to transfer influence. It should be the case that the church is able to go on the offensive. That one, we are now the one dictating the media and the news and the culture. And then the world, they're busy trying to catch up with us. And this comes about in two ways. So one, yes, it's in the way that we're producing things and we're no longer responding to the bad news. We're creating the good news that now the world has to respond to. But two, we should be the innovators. We should be the ones that are creating new kinds of music, new kinds of media, new kinds of inventions that people couldn't have even imagined. You think of something like the music industry, okay? People don't realize this, but the music industry would never have existed unless the invention of something like the phonogram. Because the phonogram was the first way to essentially take a sound wave, record it on a disc, and play it back, right? So Edison invented this back in the late 1800s, and it had never, ever existed, this idea that we can record audio and play it back. So you think of every rock star, every popular band, every pop star. They never would have been able to sell CDs or records back in the day, and then CDs, and now it's just Spotify and Apple Music. That industry would never even have existed if not for the invention of the phonograph. So there are still new industries that do not exist yet, that the Holy Spirit wants to give his people, that may very well change the course of history. Then you think of things just like in the music industries, right? It's like in the world, they'll create rock music. And then, you know, 10 years later, the church is like, oh, now we've got Christian rock. And then the world will create rap music. And then the church comes out 10 years later. Oh, we got Christian rap. Why are we always copying the world and following behind the world? Whatever trends, whether fashion or music or media, why are we always coming behind them? We should be the ones that are leading the way, that when we produce some media or some new business, in the world, they're studying it, trying to figure out where we even came up with it. They're trying to reproduce it because it's so innovative and it's so new and fresh. This is the kind of thing that the Holy Spirit can give you, right? So if you're called to the music industry and God's putting music in your heart, your biggest inspiration can come from the Holy Spirit. If it's God-breathed, it'll be new and inventive and innovative for this time. And then other people, they'll end up studying it. And they'll think, whoa, there's this whole new trend. And where did this come from? And when they ask you, where did you come up with this? Whether it's an invention or a new trend of music or a new fashion design, whatever it is. When they come and they ask you, where did you come up with this? How did you figure this out? You can tell them, I got this by listening to the Holy Spirit. You will be able to point the way to God. And that is such a powerful thing because you're showing people that your reliance on God led you to that place, but you're also showing them that they can also rely on God. And things will happen when they do that. So I hope this has been encouraging to you, and I hope maybe, hopefully it helps you take on a new perspective on the way we should live life. We have to be led by the Spirit first. We have to stop reacting to what the world is doing, and instead we have to focus on being the light. This is the era where God wants to start transferring influence to his church, but we have to be ready. We have to be reliant on him. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit instead of trying to lead the Holy Spirit. And I hope you all take that to heart. So dearly Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the words that have been spoken today, God. I pray, God, fill us with wisdom, Lord. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance, God. And forgive us for those times that we've tried to lead you, tried to impose our will upon you, God. We commit, Lord, that we will submit ourselves to your will, that we will pursue your will in our lives, Lord. And if there's corrections that need to be made, Lord, I pray, Lord, give us the courage to make those corrections, God. We thank you for this thing. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us, Lord, and that transformation is coming to this nation and to the church. In Jesus' name, God, amen. So take to heart the instructions that we received this day. We're not going to just believe the news. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for this nation. We're going to ask for instructions from the Lord, and we're going to do it. And yes, here in the U.S., we're going to be throwing some curveballs, but as the Lord said, we're still going to hit a home run. So continue to trust in God. And do not forget also that the Prophetic Voice of Our Time is on YouTube, so make sure to search it up, find it, subscribe, because we're going to be posting videos there as well. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.